At the beginning of this month, we started looking at a series that we called And the Thief Told Jesus, Remember Me. And the Thief Told Jesus, Remember Me. And we've looked at a number of things around that. We looked at the resurrection of Christ. We looked at how sometimes, even though the resurrection is meant to bring joy and hope, it might put us in a state where we're looking at it from a point of disappointment. We looked at that last week. And we looked at a number of other things as well. So today I'm going to carry on from where we stopped last week. And I've called today's subtopic, still under the same main topic, Determination is not enough. Determination is not enough. So what do I mean by that? We'll look at the story of someone in the Bible, Peter, and it will help us to sort of like look at how our Christian life can be sometimes when we're going through life. So we'll look at the life of Peter. So I'm going to be making three main points this morning, looking at the life of Peter. Now, one thing about Peter in the Bible is he was the most outspoken of Jesus' disciples. I mean, Peter was like really out there. Do you know what I mean? He was with Jesus all the time. He was ready to just, he was the kind of guy that came to church like really early on a Sunday while everybody's like at home, rolling over. Man, Peter is there like 8, you know, setting up everything. He's like praying. By the way, that's not pun. I'm not trying to like say that if you didn't come early, you should be guilty. I'm not implying that. Am I? Anyway, so Peter was like really out there. Now, how does that relate to us before we start to look at the story of Peter? I think that sometimes our lives are parallel to the stages that Peter went through in his walk with Christ. So the first one we want to look at is Peter, the passionate follower of Christ. So if you turn, well, I'll read from John chapter 6, verse 68. John chapter 6, verse 68. Now, Jesus was preaching Jesus had been preaching, and he had loads of people following him. At one point, he fed like 3,000 people, you know, with loaves and fish. At one point, he fed thousands of people. So people were like really after Christ. It was like, man, where is Jesus? And they were looking for him, and he would preach, he would feed them. And they really loved Jesus, thousands of people, and they were following him. Then it got to a point where Jesus now began to tell them the hard truths of the gospel. So Jesus began to tell them that, look, the gospel is not just about you getting things from God. The gospel isn't just like, okay, God, when I pray, you pay my bills and all those things, which are good. God helps us with those things. But Jesus began to tell them that that's not the core of the gospel. And at that point, some people just said, man, this pastor, big guy, make us laugh. Tell us how good God is, which I will. Not make you laugh, but tell you how good God is. Well, all this, you know, you have to give your time to Jesus. You have to, you know, really persevere through hardship. That's not part of what we want. And people left Jesus in droves. Thousands of people left him. They said, man, this gospel message is too hard. I don't need all that. Tell me something that is like, you know, easy to do. But Jesus began to tell them the hard truths of the gospel. And they left. Thousands left. Jesus now turns to his disciples and he says, are you guys going to leave as well? Are you going to leave as well? Then Peter's response in John chapter 6, verse 68 is, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Peter was committed to Christ. He was really committed to Christ. So he wasn't just there for what God could do for him or for what Christ could do for him. Do you understand? And Christ did a lot for Peter. But Peter stuck through all that. Then Jesus began to tell them, look, I'm going to be crucified very soon. But they didn't quite understand what that meant. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 35, Peter now says, when Jesus was saying, look, guys, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be killed. This was Peter's response in Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. He said, but Peter declared, even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. I mean, what a thing here. What a thing. This guy was committed, like the same way you guys are committed as well. I think I alluded to an example last week, an example, this won't happen, so please come to church next Sunday. And I was like, if as you're all sat down here now, I was saying this last Sunday, you just heard gunshots out there, AK-47s, and you're like, what's happening there? And suddenly, we have about 10 masked men come in here, 3 through that door, 7 through that door, all masked with machine guns. And they're like, nobody move here. We're not here for you. We're here for Pastor Benson. Nobody will get hurt. Just walk out of that door and leave Pastor Benson. We're here for Pastor Benson. Peter said, if that happened to Jesus, he was ready to die. So if that happened here, as we're, you know, like 5-10 minutes from now, masked men entered here. I'm just shot into the ceiling. Grrr, AK-47s. If you don't know what an AK-47 is, don't worry. It's like a gun. And they're like, nobody moves here. Just relax. Just walk out gently, quietly out the door. Leave us with Pastor Benson. I'm sure I know what your response would be. Your response would be, what? You guys would just surround the stage here and be like, no way, you can't take out Pastor Benson. We are going to stand here. I'm sure that's what you guys would do, right? Hang on. I'm sure that's a rhetorical question. You know, we're having Bible study on Friday here. And we made like a similar statement. This one wasn't about masked men coming in here. And we were all sat there, and everybody was giving their opinion. And it came to this particular person. I'm not going to say who that was, so we're not giving it away. And they said, in this circumstance, not the machine gun circumstance, what would you do? And this person said, you know, we'll see how it goes if that ever occurs. So I was like, are you giving us a politically correct answer here? Yes or no? Will you stand for Pastor, you know? And I know you guys would never be like Peter. If that sort of thing happened, I can be rest assured that you guys would ensure that I'm not arrested. You'd stand toe to toe with the gunman and say, no, you can't take out Pastor Benson. Yeah, I'm really confident about you guys. So Peter was the same way. And Peter told Jesus, he said, if anything happens, not only am I ready to be arrested to go to jail with you, I am ready to die for you. Can you beat that? I mean, how would you feel if you had that kind of friend that would stick with you through thick and thin? That individual is ready to die for you. You'd be like, man, that's the kind of friend I want. That's the kind of Christian that I want to be. So we see the passion of Peter here. We see the commitment of Peter here. We see the determination of Peter here. Now, how does that relate to us? How is that relevant to you and I in our context? Well, it might be relevant to you when at some point in time in your life or in my life, you wake up in the morning and you're like, look, I really want to follow Jesus with everything that I have. I really want to commit my heart to Jesus. I want to do everything that God has asked me to do. I want to be, you know, Jesus, I just really want to give it all. Do you understand? I believe that we mostly have that desire. Then you're like, I'm going to wake up and read my Bible. After I've done my exercises in the morning, Then after that, I'll pray and spend. I want to be like really, really committed. I've drawn the line. Then you maybe stick your schedule on paper, like print it out, put it by your bedside. Read Bible, pray in the morning, and so on and so forth. And you're ready to go. You're ready to go. And you're meant to do that like, 7 o'clock in the morning? And the next morning, you just roll over. Oh, and it's 8:30. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'll catch up tomorrow. Do you get what I mean? I'll catch up tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. And I promise I'll pray double the time. All right? But you guys don't do that. Come on. You guys spend like, you wake up in time and read the Bible. So this doesn't apply to any of you here. So it's just a story. Next morning, the same thing. Next morning, the same thing. So Peter was determined. We now move to the second part of the thing I want to talk about this morning. We're looking at three things about the life of Peter. So the first thing is that we see someone who is committed, not perfect, but who has made up their mind that, look, I want to really go for it. Do you understand? Now, they carry on with Jesus. They're following him around. Things are happening. They're excited. Then something quite interesting happens to Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. So Jesus is about to be arrested. And his disciples, they're not aware. They're like, it's like any other day. It's like any other summer day. They wake up, and it doesn't seem like there's anything different about that day. All right? Then we go to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Then I'll read. Jesus is arrested at this point. And the disciples can't believe what they're looking at. They can't believe what's happening. Then this story follows on. Seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there. In the firelight, she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I do not know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also were one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, that the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. You know, when I was reading the story last week, again, I was just trying to put myself in Peter's shoes. Peter had vehemently declared to Christ, I'm ready to die for you. He now finds himself in a scenario where what he thought he would do was about to play out. Jesus was arrested, dragged around to the house of one of the high priests. So as Jesus was there in chains, they were questioning him. They were slapping him. They were saying, "Prophesy. If you're Jesus, prophesy. Who slapped you?" Beating him. And Jesus was there in the courtyard, in the house of this high priest. Peter was at a distance following him. saying what's going to happen to Jesus. Is Jesus going to just call down angels from heaven and everybody just, you know? And he's watching, seeing what is going to happen to Jesus. Then as he's following Jesus at a distance, he sits down. And there's like a fireplace. And as he's at that fireplace, Jesus is just in the corner. Well, at a slight distance from him. Someone comes up to Peter, a girl, a little girl, and says, hang on, I know you. You go to that CFT Bristol church on Forest Road. Imagine that I'd just been arrested and I'd been carted away by the armed men from whatever country. So these guys have, you know, they've come into the church. They've arrested me. They've taken me away. And you guys are like, wow, what's happening to Pastor Benson here? And you're following me at a distance. And they take me to near Lidl. You know where Lidl is, that place? And that big courtyard by Lidl. I'm there. Everybody's there. They're making a racket. And you're following along. You're not quite sure what's going to happen to Pastor Benson that these masked men have bundled up. So the same thing with Peter. He was there. A girl comes up to him. She says, I know you were with Jesus. And Peter says, no, never. I wasn't. I don't even know him. One. Somebody else comes and says, hang on. I know you. You were with Jesus. I saw you following him around. Jesus denies. He says, not Jesus. Peter denies. He says, no, it's not me. I don't know Jesus. Number two. Third time, somebody else comes and says, hang on. I've seen you in that church. You sing in the choir. Not that I'm saying the choir people are going to do this, by the way. So let's just put that out there. I know you. You go to that church. You eat the biscuits after the service. I've seen you on... I've seen your post on Instagram. You are eating biscuits and you're drinking water color tea. It's like, you're not allowed Coca-Cola in this church without your doctor's thing for sugar. I saw you. Peter denied. And do you know what really struck me there? Jesus was in pain. Jesus was sitting down in the courtyard. They had dragged him, slapped him, beaten him. He was in pain. People were saying all sorts of things, falsely accusing him. And in that pain, Peter had been denying him. Then after he denied Jesus a third time, something happens. The Bible says, after Peter denied him, he looked in the direction of Jesus. And Jesus in his pain, Jesus in his anguish, turned and looked straight at Peter. I'm not quite sure you guys understand that. His eye caught Peter and it was like, almost like, I mentioned that you are going to deny me. And that has happened. And their eyes caught. When Peter saw Jesus look at him that way, he went out and began to cry. Why was he crying? Because he realized something that, my goodness, how could I have done this to Christ? How could I have done this? In 1,000 years, I would never have imagined that I would do this to Christ. So it wasn't even like, it wasn't born out of fear or what. It was just so disappointed in himself. At that point, his relationship with Christ, his passion, his enthusiastic nature fizzled out. And what did Peter go and do after this? He just went back to normal, in quote. Went back fishing, just stayed under the radar, really. The passion, the drive, everything gone. So how does this relate to us? Well, the way it relates to us is this, I believe. We get to the place sometimes where we want to follow Jesus. We draw the line in our hearts. And we're like, look, I just want to give it my all. Then, as we go through life, things begin to happen. And sometimes we do things that we are totally ashamed of. It's like, my goodness, am I not meant to be a Christian? Am I not meant to be this? And it's like, man, how could I? And sometimes there are things that it's only you that knows. It was only Peter that knew that, obviously, until they wrote the Bible. He was the only one that knew at that time. He was faced with this guilt, this shame. And that guilt and shame that he felt drained all the excitement from his life, drained all the passion from his life. And he just said, well, I'll just go to church every Sunday and just keep a low profile. I'll just go so that Pastor Benson doesn't text me and say, we didn't see you in church. I hope you're fine. I don't want that text. So I'll just turn up, show my face, but that's it. Passion gone. Oh, we want to reach Bristol for Jesus. We want to go out there. We want to do this in the city center. Who wants to come? Not me. I just want to go home. At least I can turn up on special occasions in church, but apart from that, I'm not doing any extra thing. I'm just going to go home and binge on Netflix and ice cream all day, all night. Passion gone. And everybody around you, not when I say you, I'm talking about like you in the third person. I'm not like you. And everybody's thinking, oh, man, where's Peter? That guy was so passionate. Man, I want to be like Peter. Peter was, you know, they didn't know what was going on with Peter, do you know? Oh, Peter. And when they saw him on the street, like, Peter, can I take a selfie with you? If you're from up north, can I take a selfie with you? And they're like, oh, Peter. Oh, is that Peter? Is that? Selfie, selfie, selfie. Oh, man, I want to be like you. But they didn't know Peter was gone, passionless, filled with guilt. Do you understand? He was gone. Only him and Jesus at that point knew that he was gone. No other person knew. But some of the symptoms was that he was no longer as passionate. He told the other disciples, look, and I'm going fishing. I'm just going to go back to my normal business. So Peter wasn't doing anything bad, so to speak. He didn't totally abandon the faith. No, he didn't. But the passion, the excitement, all gone. All gone. You know, why am I saying all this? You know, I became a Christian. I became born again in 1996. August. And for me, I have been excited ever since. And I was telling someone that, look, for me, I don't know, maybe it's just my nature. It's very difficult for me to do things half measure. It's really difficult in everything that I do. It's either, I think sometimes some people say I'm like, that the people that know me, they think sometimes I'm too full on. Even some people abroad think that sometimes. Like, oh, Pastor B, are you like, I hope when we, you know, this, when we blank, 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 you're still going to be doing these things. I'll delete this part of the message. You know, I'm not going to tell you some of the things I do. I said, you know, that's me. So for me, it'll be really difficult to just be passionless when it comes to Christ. I was telling someone that even if I were not a pastor, right, I would still be as passionate as I am. I mean, I've been through a lot in my life as well. You know, don't get me wrong. It's not been rosy. In fact, some of the things I've been through, if you guys knew, you probably would cry for me and say, Pastor, what? But that's fine. But I'm still excited. Why am I excited? Am I saying that I have not been through stuff like Peter? Am I saying you haven't? We all have. And if you have not, I promise you, you will. Because John chapter, some people, I can't possibly say that. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, in this world, you, not might, may, maybe. It says you will have trouble. So guaranteed. Like, oh, Pastor, do you have to say that? Why can't you say something slightly more? Well, that's what the Bible says. You will have trouble. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, however, be of good cheer. I have overcome. Do you understand? So Peter experienced that in this context. Maybe you've experienced that as well. Like, oh man, this Christianity thing. I'm not quite sure it worked. Pray. And you know, this thing didn't happen. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Cool, relax. Relax. Welcome to the real world. So what am I talking about today? And I'll come to the last point. We're looking at what I've said today is this. Determination is not enough. Passion is not enough. It's a good starting point. Determination will not carry you and I through every difficult situation. It's good that we're determined. Peter was determined. He was passionate. We should have those things. Those things are good components of life. But Jesus didn't hold it against Peter. Because Jesus knew that, look, this guy that is so passionate, Jesus was just looking at him and said, look, no worries, Peter. You deny me 3 times. But it's fine, I prayed for you. And Peter was like, what? What? So Jesus wasn't surprised. And Jesus was not angry as well with him. Do you understand? Jesus wasn't surprised. But Jesus wasn't angry either. Now, why am I saying Jesus wasn't surprised and he wasn't angry? Because Jesus had already told him that this is what would happen to you. But I prayed for you. And he wasn't angry because when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't tell Peter, I just can't believe you did that. How could you have? No. Because Jesus understood, and Jesus understands us. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says we do not have a high priest that is not oblivious of our infirmities. So when you roll over in bed, when you're meant to, not meant to, when you've promised yourself you wake up and pray and read your Bible and all that, Jesus isn't angry with you, by the way. So, determination is not enough. So what do we do? How do we walk through this Christian life, still maintaining the passion, the joy through challenging times? How do we do that? Jesus said something to the disciples, which is pertinent to us as well. Acts, which is this is the third part. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says something there. It says, let them put it on the screen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told them, you will receive power. What is this power that the Bible is talking about? The power and the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, second part, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, the second part says, it is not by strength that one prevails. It is not by strength that one prevails. So Jesus is telling us here that, look, you and I need his help. You need the help of God to walk this Christian life. Yes, your passion is required. Your commitment, your decision is required. God isn't just going to like say, okay, yeah, what? No. Your passion and determination are required, but that's not enough. And God knows that that's not enough. That's why he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power. First Samuel that we've just read now says, by strength no man will prevail. That means your physical strength and determination will get you so far. So far. Then Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible begins to tell us something there. He says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So God has envisaged everything and anything that you and I can ever go through. And he has an answer to that. And the answer is this. The Holy Spirit is available to you and I to help us through this life. So that irrespective of what is happening to you or what has happened to you, from the inside, the strength of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit keeps you going. Do you get what I mean? Keeps you going. Keeps you going. So what am I saying this morning? I've said three things. I've said, one, we can come to the place where we want to follow Christ with all our hearts. We want to, you know, we really want to give our all to Christ. The second thing I spoke about is that you and I will sometimes come into situations in life where we're discouraged, where we're like, well, I've had enough, you know, and that's fine. Jesus knows that. And the third thing is this. God has anticipated everything you and I can ever come across. And he says that irrespective of what you go through or what challenges you face, he is there to help you. Do you understand? He's there to help you. He's there to stabilize your mind, your soul, your emotions, your fears. Do you understand? That's exactly what he did for Peter. If you now read through from the book of Acts, you now see a different Peter. A Peter who is no longer afraid. He's faced with people who challenge him and tell him, don't preach. And he's like, I'd rather preach than fear whatever it is you can do. So he was a changed person. So what happened to Peter? Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him and everything changed in his life. So, this morning I'm just going to end here. I'm saying to us that, look, this Christian faith that we have is not something that is just there. It's something that really encompasses our whole lives. God is concerned about every part of your life. He's concerned about what's happening to you. He's concerned that you should have joy through this life. He's concerned that when you go through life, in your own strength, it might not be enough, and he has made provision for that. Because he loves each and every one of us. So this morning, we're just going to pray. And the prayer I want to pray this morning is this. I think we'll just pray, and it's a personal prayer to each and every one of us. The first one is this. If you have disappointed, or if you think you have disappointed God in any way, why don't you just tell him this morning and say, God, I think I've disappointed you in this. I'm sorry. Number one. And number two, we're going to ask that God will release the Holy Spirit afresh into our lives so that as we carry on with this journey of life, the passion that comes with knowing Christ, the joy that comes with knowing Christ is refilled in our lives and is afresh and alive in our lives going forward. I don't know about you. Since I realized this, I wake up in the morning sometimes and I'm like, oh my goodness, why am I so excited? Why am I so excited? Someone asked me, Pastor B. Wise. I said, I don't know. I think it's just God making me excited like this. So those are the prayers that I want us to pray this morning. That God, okay, I think I've disappointed you in this way, and I'm sorry. And God says, before you even ask, he's forgiven. And the second one is, Jesus, help me. Help me. I'm going to ask that we rise. So it's a personal prayer to you. It's not the prayer for the person who is sitting next to you. Let them pray as well. Jesus is here. And he's just saying, look, give your heart to me. Let me help you. You don't have to go through this life by yourself. And if there's anything you think you've done, just apologize. And he says he's forgiven you already, as the Bible says. So let's just take a minute and just pray. Our Father and our King. Father, we thank you for your kindness. Father, your word says in Hebrews that we do not have a high priest that is oblivious of the things that we go through. Father, thank you for caring about us. Father, the same way that you understood what Peter went through, you understand us as well. You understand the challenges that we've been through. You understand the pain that we have been through or that we might be going through. And you're not annoyed with us. You're not disappointed. Instead, you've made a way for us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, this morning I pray for all your people that are here. Father, I ask, oh God, for a fresh supply of the Holy Spirit upon your people this morning in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Bring your wave of healing this morning, Holy Spirit. Bring your wave of strength this morning, Holy Spirit. Father, we just want to thank you. Father, we 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 thank you. Father, I'm asking that you cleanse every heart here. Father, that every guilt, your word says that you bore our guilt and our shame, every guilt. Bear it, oh God, remove it from our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. Replace guilt and shame with strength. Father, I pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.